going to try to, with the help of the Lord, to minister to you today. But I've got to say that I am so appreciative of everything that's been said. Sometimes you try to find the mind of God, figure out which direction to go, to make sure you're in the will of God. Sometimes things are said. Now, I thought I would tell you today, I have come with two messages, but the good news is I'm only going to preach three of them. No, on a serious note, we're only going to preach one. I believe, again, after hearing some of the things that's been said in this service, that we have the mind of God. I'm trusting and believing that we do. Now, I'm going to do something. I am, the more I live in this, and the more I'm in church, and the more I'm around the people of God, and the more I get an understanding of the Word of God, the more convinced I become that we are going to have to be a little bit more nimble for God. Now, I know you don't know what that means. I know you don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to give you an example. The Bible said that when Israel was praying for his grandchildren, to put the way that we would know that, is the Bible said his hands were guided willingly. An interesting way of putting that. To the point that his son comes up and says, "Hey, you got your wrong right hand on the wrong child." But no, he was right. You see, he was absolutely correct because he was hearing the voice of God. I don't care how many times we've done something a certain way, we've got to be nimble and do something different and try to follow the will of God and the mind of God. It has become my prayer. Lord, when I come to your house, I want to be able to hear your voice. I don't know how to go out and come in unless you tell me, and I don't know what to do. But if you give me some instruction, I'm going to try to follow.
Come on
now. That's what we need to be doing because we're living in a day of perilous times. And if there ever was a time that we need to hear the voice of the Spirit and make sure that we do that. Now, I'm going to do something entirely different right now. And I'd like the pastor to come stand in the pulpit for a moment and leave his post of his other duty that he has since Brother Crabtree's not here. And if I missed it, Brother Watson, at least it won't be for the lack of trying to find, of hearing the voice of God to do something that I feel to do. But I have a heavy message to bring today. And any time that I have a heavy message, I do not want to do so in a flippant manner. I want to do so with the anointing and the burden that is required of such a message. And I am at least, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I am smart enough to know this. There are forces arrayed against the church. There are forces arrayed against us as a people. There are forces that are arrayed against the army of God. And if there ever was a time that we need to be pleading the blood of Jesus, it is right now. Something a little bit different. While Brother Watson stands in this pulpit and bleeds the blood, this is what I feel to do. I feel to take one, gather this three with me, and I'm going to get one sister and one brother, and we're going to join hands. I've chosen Sister Taylor and Brother Brown. I'd like for you to come up here to the front of the church, and you're going to join hands with me, and we are going to begin to plead the blood of Jesus over souls in this service today. Brother Watson's going to be praying and pleading the blood of Jesus. Turn your attention to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 3. Oh, my God. I apologize. A little longer read than I like to normally do, so I'll let you be seated, but this is gotta be. Just bear with us today. Chapter 3, verse 24. Then Joab came to the king and said, "What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away and is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know that all that thou doest. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers from after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah. But David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fig tree of him, that he died for the blood of Ashiel his brother. And afterwards, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner the son of Ner. And it came, and it will let it rest upon the head of Joab and upon his father's house. And let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on the staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Asahel in Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with ashcloth and mourn before Abner. And the king David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice. And he wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. I want to preach on this topic with the help of the Lord, and I do not think I'll preach long. In the shadow of safety. In the shadow of safety. Now, Lord, we pray over this message, but I pray one more time that you would loose my tongue. Help my mind, Lord. May my mind be sharpened, O God. Lord, I pray one more time for this congregation as we hear the word of the Lord. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Now, Brother Watson and you and many, many other people have preached lots of messages. And when you preach messages of a time of a funeral, it's a very, very sensitive time because you're dealing with the raw emotions of the people that are his friends and are his family, or her family, or whatever the case may be. Brother Watson, you are wise to be very careful. Every man of God is to be wise because he has a main function, Brother Evans, and that main function is to minister and to comfort. Two things he's got to do. He's got to try to somehow get people to look at their own mortality and realize that one day you're going to be in that place. But he also has the responsibility to try to bring comfort to hearts that are torn up and lives that are devastated because of a loss of a loved one. But yet, and I find in this story an amazing thing, because David was so beside himself in shock and horror, or in absolute, I don't know what you would even call it, over the fact that Abner had died in a place where he should not have died. That Abner died like he said he would actually open up his mouth to, in the front of his friends, in the front of his family. He was so moved by what had happened and occurred that he could not help it. He actually flew out of his mouth. Abner, you have died like a fool. He asked the question, why would you die as a fool when you knew what was at stake, when you knew that Joab was out to kill you? Sometimes it worries me that people don't take things serious as they ought to take them. They're not in the roaring lion.
safety. Lord Jesus.
Let me tell you something. My heart is sad. My heart is troubled that there are countless souls who have died with no such refuge. But I'm here to tell you that we have a refuge. It is comparable. It is the church to what he was talking about, because it was a place that the enemy could not go and could not do him damage. And I'm here to tell you that you, when you hear the voice of God and sit in a place where God is worshiped, you are in a place of safety. You are placed in a place of refuge. But there are countless others that have never had the privilege, Brother Watson, of knowing what it is to have a pastor that prayed over them. They don't know what it's like to be in the house of God and feel the divine presence of an Almighty God. And they are lost in to eternity. And that is tragic. That is heartrending. That is terrible. But I'm going to tell you what's worse. It is for us of those that have been in the shadow of the gate of safety to be lost for eternity. That is the horror. That is the sadness that needs to grip us when we consider how horrible it is that we would be lost in the shadow of safety. In the very gate. You see, he was pulled just outside of the gate. He pulled him aside. He couldn't do his damage on the inside. He had to do his damage on the outside. But here's the thing. Abner, you should have known, because he sent out his messengers. You should have been suspicious. You should have known what was going to happen. Why did you allow the fact that you knew the messengers were trying to reach you? I'm here to tell you that there are all types of demonic spirits that are vying for your attention. I said there are all kinds of demonic spirits that are trying to pull you outside the gate. There are so many demonic spirits. They are the same messengers that were sent after Abner. And if you're not careful, if you don't make up in your mind, I'm going to be inside the gate of safety. I'm not going to get it. Well, it's just inside the gate, in the shadow of the gate. I'm going to step inside. I'm going to get as far toward the middle of everything that God is doing. I'm here to tell you that's the safest place there is. Get in the middle of what God is doing. Get in the middle of His joy. Get in the middle of His peace. Get in the middle of His deliverance. Get in the middle of the Word. Get in the middle of singing. Get in the middle of testimony. Get in the middle of all of this. Get in the middle of giving your finances. Get in the middle and get away. Get away from the outer edge. Praise God. If I could just get him. Joab was cunning enough to know that I only need to get him on the outside. I only need to get him on the edge. I'm here to tell you that too many are captured. They are trying to live for God in a place of safety, but not recognizing what the devil's trying to do to them. And they have all kinds of addictions. And they have all kinds of problems. And they have all kinds of sins that's hanging on them. But they don't battle with them. And I'm pleading with you today. Do not die. Do not die. Do not die in the shadow of safety. Do not die. Do not go to hell. What are you saying, Brother Marshall? I'm saying don't go to hell from an apostolic move of God. Don't go to hell when people are here to help you. Don't go to hell when people are here to love you and make sure you're in the kingdom. Get away from the edge. Get away from the messengers that are sent to deceive you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do I see? Here I go with you.
Down here.
Thank you.
Down here.
Thank you.
That's as bad as I've ever hit him for myself. Thank you. The church is a haven of safety for every soul.
Amen.
Amen.
And the gates represent God's protection. It's great, brother, it's great to have God's provision.
Amen.
Every last one of us can tell about the times that God has made a way where there didn't seem to be a way. He blessed us going out. He blessed us coming in. We've got so many testimonies about the goodness of God. How He helped us pay a bill that was impossible to pay. How He made a way when there was no way. But I'm here to tell you, I'm so much more thankful than that about the divine protection that's inside the church of the living God. It cannot be found. Protection in this world. It's only in the church.
Amen.
And I list you a few things, and there's many, many more that can be said about this, but this is quite a number I'm going to list for you. The church in this place of safety, in this refuge that I'm talking about, it is a place for instruction. Come on, you get instruction to how you live. Come on, what a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. Then when you come to the house of God, nobody's giving you their opinion about things. Nobody's giving you the wisdom of man. Nobody's trying to offer you the wisdom of man because they got a PhD behind their name. But you get instruction of the Lord, straight from the Word of God on how to live your life pleasing to Him. Such a way that you can make heaven your home.
Yeah.
And not only making heaven, but just having a heaven life. How many people, if they would just live according to the precepts in the Word of God, would avoid so much hell in their life if they would just live the Word of God?
Yeah.
How many of us have known people that give to God? I'm talking about financially give to God. They don't even live for God, but they give to God. And you know the reason they give to God? Because they found out a long time ago that Scripture is correct about giving to God financially.
Amen.
They understand that God blesses financially. We got people in the church sometimes that don't even get this, but you got people outside the church that will send their tithes and something to the church. Why? Because they understand something.
There's a blessing in giving.
Amen. They received instruction when they were in the church. Praise God. But it is also a place for establishing you. Come on. It's not just enough to get the Holy Ghost. Some people, the reason that they are not living for God, you've watched it, I've watched it too. They come into the house of God, get the Holy Ghost, but they never get established.
Amen.
But He will establish your goings. He will establish your feet. He will establish where you are. He will put you in a place that you don't wonder and you don't question and you don't doubt.
Amen.
He establishes you. And because of it, you're not a fool for false doctrine. You're not a fool for the things that the enemy wants to tell you is not right. Because He has established you. So we have people that's been in the church living for God for many, many years because when they came in, they got established. And they're good saints that love God. You can count on them. You ain't got to preach 50 times about giving. You ain't got to preach all the time. Well, you got to pray. You got to pray. And we do it and we should do it. But when people are established, you don't have to say you need to pray. They know they need to pray. They're trying to find more ways to do it like we did just then. They're looking for more ways to do it because they know prayer works. When you're established, you know what works. And you know what doesn't work. When you're established. But you don't get established in the world. And you don't get established at home doing what you want to do. You don't get established watching television. You don't get established listening to the radio. You don't get established with your friends. You only get established in the house. things. This is a place to laugh. We already did that. That was in my notes, and you didn't even know it, Brother Watson.
Good.
It's a place that we can come to the house of God, and we can turn our frowns upside down.
Yes, sir.
We can kind of, we can have a little levity, and it's all right as long as we don't get foolish with it. We can have come to the house of God and have a smile on our face. I'm here to tell you, I've watched services where the Holy Ghost moved. I've watched people get so into the Spirit that a spirit of laughing comes on them, and they just laugh and they laugh and they laugh because it's joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Come on, it's time for us to tap in to that kind of joy. And I want, I love to laugh, but I love, I've never had that happen to me, but I love it for it to. I like for it to. Have it happen. Yes, maybe because the Lord said, man, every time I turn around, you're laughing over some joke. I don't know. But I know I've seen it in the house of God. And I want to embrace. Some people don't want to embrace the things of God. They see things they can't understand. And they go, well, I don't understand that. That don't make any sense. Why are they just laughing like that? Why don't you forget what you understand and get into a mindset that's beyond yours? My Bible tells me His ways are higher than my ways. His ways are not my ways. I don't have the understanding, but I know this one thing. I am in a place of great safety. I said I am in a place of security. Hallelujah. I'm not standing in the shadow of safety, but I'm well inside the cave today. As long as I do according to His will and He, His Word, it's a place to rejoice. I get worried. I don't mind telling you. I get worried when I go to the house of God and there's no rejoicing in the house of God. Listen, let me tell you something about church. It's always going to have some variety into it, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that I can look over to my left and somebody's got tears coursing down their cheeks, and I can look it over here and see Brother Miles, and he's giving his little jig, and I can see over here somebody's got their hands up, and I can see the broadest smile and appreciation for what God's doing in their life. That is the complexity that's supposed to be in the church.
Amen.
But I get worried when I go to the church and all heads are down because they're so beaten down and they cannot lift up their hands and they cannot have, there's no spirit of joy. There's no spirit of thank you, Jesus. There's no spirit of deliverance. I get worried because I know we're under a spirit of oppression and oppression, and that's never the will of God. I will tell you what I've ever told anybody that has gotten under the state of oppression and depression. Your answer is not difficult. Pray through.
Hallelujah.
I said your answer is not difficult nor complex. Pray through. My Lord, church we have. If every time the devil jumps on us, we said, hey, I'm not beat. I'm not beat. I'm going to get over my knees. It's easy. It's not complex. You just need them to pray through. Now, getting them there is the problem. Because you got to be convinced you need to. Do you know what praying through means? That means praying to the point that you are through, you bust through your flesh. The Bible said to provoke one another to good works. We're just talking about preachers. Provoke one another to good works. It is a place to unify. Oh, praise God. How beautiful it is. Unity in the brethren. Unity in the church. It is a beautiful thing. It is a powerful thing. It is a potent thing. Look, if the Bible said, talking about unity, if two or three together agree touching any one thing,
concerning
this. I want to ask you a simple question. If all of us unify and agree touching one thing, and there's more of us, what do you think it'll do?
Come on.
Come on, I'm just using basic logic. I'm no genius here. And I know you know this well, but I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to admonish you. I'm trying to push you in the directions that you already need to go. Because you know what I'm saying is the truth. Unity is a powerful and wonderful thing. Why do you think the devil works overtime against unity? Because he knows that unity is a major problem for him. And so you watch it in government, you watch it in churches, you watch it in families. The goal is to destroy unity. Let's cause chaos, let's cause havoc in all these institutions so I can do what I want to do. That's the mindset of the devil. But I'm here to help you today. If there's no unity in your house, just because that's the case today, doesn't mean that it has to be the case tomorrow. Because I serve a mighty God, I serve a great God, I serve a God that is able to unify you as He puts broken pieces back together again. Praise God. Praise God. And in the church, and in this place, this refuge is healing. Healing spiritually and healing physically. How many will lift your hand and say, I have at one point or another in my life experienced the physical healing touch of the Lord. Look at the testimony across this congregation of people who have felt the healing touch. There is a provision made for you that you can call for the elders of the church, that you can make your petitions known, that you can have a healing. Praise God. Now I'm going to ask this. How many in this congregation will testify that you have been broken in your life? Seemingly sometimes beyond repair. But the Lord was able to heal your broken spirit. He was able to heal your brokenness. He was able. I'm here to tell you, it's in the church. It's in the church. But the devil's trying to get somebody today outside of the safety of the gate. In the shadow of the gate. He's trying to take you out. Oh, I pray and preach it for somebody today that you are not inside the safety of the gate. You are outside the shadow. You're in the shadow of the safety. You're there. You can sense it. You can know it. But you're not inside the gate. Merely in the shadow.
Amen.
That's why when we opened this song today, my opening song was, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus.
Amen.
And if you'll find Jesus, He's going to usher you back to a place of safety. He's going to put you right in the middle where you need to be. It is a place to refine your faith. Come on, we need our faith refined.
Amen.
One man said it this way, Lord, help down my unbelief. You see, he has the level of belief and faith, but there was a blockage in his life. When you come to the house of God, he is able to refine your faith. He is able to help you remove the barrier of unbelief. Come on, we need that barrier removed so that we can have real faith and believe God and trust God.
Amen.
Praise God. And it is a safe harbor from the storms of life. We come to the house of God. Come on, somebody will witness for me. Ravaged by storms of life. It's like it consumes your every thought. It consumes your emotions. It consumes your ability to function. But you come into the presence of the Lord. And the Lord begins to move by His divine Spirit. And all of a sudden, you don't feel the wind blowing in your face. You don't feel that gale of wind that blows in your face anymore. And you don't feel the pelting of the rain because you're inside of a place. You're inside of a place. You're inside of a place of security. And you no longer feel
its effect. But you have heard the Master say, peace be still. And all you need is the stillness and the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 That's all of this that I'm talking about is inside the gate.
Hallelujah.
My Father, hallelujah.
Psalm 91 says this. I'm trying to rush. Psalm 91 says this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Instead of being under the shadow of the gate, I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. If I dwell in His secret place, I'm telling you, the secret place is in His presence. And you'll never find the degree of the presence of the Lord like you'll find in His place, in His house.
Praise God.
I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. When the world is going crazy and false doctrine and believing every wind of doctrine and every kind of crazy thing, and you got all your family and all your friends that say, hey, why don't you listen to so-and-so? Have you listened to so-and-so? You say, hey, I got something else. I got a truth as my shield and my buckler. I'm not going to back out of baptism in Jesus' name. I'm not going to back off on one God. I'm not going to back off to the person who must repent and be baptized for the remission of sins.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen.
All right, round in the bend. Let me tell you something. The Bible says this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You see, we should never fear the valley of death. But I tell you what we should fear. We should fear the valley of foolishness. You hear me? The valley of foolishness that will tell you that you don't have to heed the Word of God. That you can stay home and do your own thing. That you can live your life. And if you've got things that are hanging on you and spirits hanging on you, it's okay that God loves you anyway. This is the valley of foolishness that many have found themselves in.
Amen.
But Isaiah, these are the things that if we find ourselves beyond the gate, I'm closing. If we find ourselves beyond the gates of protection, these are the things that we find ourselves outside of. We find ourselves outside of Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. You see, when you're in the house of God in a place of safety, the Lord said in His Word, I don't care what weapons may be out there, and there's a lot of them, but if the devil concocts a new one that he says to himself, this one will work, they've never seen it before, I'm going to put them to something they've never seen before, through divine spirits that will come against them that they've never seen before, and I'm going to use this method, this never been used. But I'm here to tell the devil that no weapon born against the church of a living God shall prosper. It's not going to work. I said it's not going to work. But if you get outside the gates of the city, this scripture does not apply to you. Psalm 3:3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. The city. If you're outside the city of protection in the house of God, this verse right here, Psalm 61:2-3, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart
rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. I always used to stop there. I quit stopping there. Because it says, and when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me.
Amen.
Come on, that's equally as important as the other one.
Because sometimes you just can't see how to go.
Come on now. Come on.
That's right.
But when you can tell the devil, hey, I messed up. But you better not rejoice. Because even in my darkened condition, when I'm feeling order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day. Order my steps. I can walk. I can walk. I can feel my way back around. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You feel what I feel? I can feel my way back around the grace. When I'm desperate for the watch and I don't feel grace, all I feel is guilt. All I feel is shame. All I feel is desperation. But in my darkness, the Lord will flip on the light. Let it may be that before He flips on the light, I got to feel around a little bit. But that's okay. You know what I'm going to bump into? I'm going to bump into grace. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. So what happens is I try to feel my way around and I bump into grace. I'm sitting in the darkness and I bump into grace. And then I think, well, I'm encouraged, but I've got to get out of this situation somehow. And I go over just a little bit more. Goodness
and mercy.
I'm a fellow of the grace and goodness of God.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, I'm not stepping in those anymore. But mercy is
ours.
Mercy wants to be our
Amen.
Mercy. What I want is some.
Come on.
And I found the goodness.
Amen.
Suddenly.
I got you.
Come on, I'm trying to preach to somebody today that you're outside the gate. God wants you saved. God doesn't want to be said of you. The preacher might not actually say it. He might be kind enough to actually not mouth the words. But you don't even want him to mouth it in his spirit to say, oh, you tied so foolishly. When we preached to you and you heard the good word of God and you had all the good things to help you to make it, you should have not died this way. I've come to this pulpit for the burden. God didn't just give this to me by accident. I'm here to tell you, I tried to cry. I tried to beg my way out of it. I started looking around. Yeah, I can be stubborn too. I can be in the flesh too. And I started looking around. Well, Lord, I don't know if I want to preach this one day. I think it needs to be preached, but I'm not sure it needs to be preached today. Could be that somebody's going to be there. And I got to church. Can I just be honest with you? I got to church and I'm sitting here with this message that God has given me. And I'm looking around and there ain't hardly a soul here. And I'm thinking, boy, I've really messed this up. And I'm about to preach a message that needs to be heard. Ain't nobody here. Listen, folks. He wouldn't let me get off of it because of you.
Amen.
I said, He wouldn't let me get off of it because of you.
Yes.
He wouldn't let me get off of something I thought I would preach because He loved you. And He says, they've got to understand the enemy is trying to destroy them in the shadow of the gate. And if you don't make it to heaven, let me tell you one thing that's going to be terrible about it.
Yeah.
There's going to be people that knew that one time
you were inside the gate.
Yes.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
You've got people you rub shoulders with that know where you go to church and know where you experience.
Uh-huh.
And you know what they're going to tell you? I'm tormented.
Yeah.
I'm punished eternally.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Why are you here?
My Lord.
Yes. Why are you here? Yeah. Every eye closed. There is a spirit that has swept down on us when I made that statement. And conviction has come into this house. My only question to you is this. Would you allow this message preached for your sake because love reached out for you? Would you allow that to go by and say, nice try, preacher. Nice try. But I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay. I'm asking, can we stand our feet? Can we go back to standing somewhere in the shadows and sing it again? And as we sing this song, if the Lord has ministered to you and you know that He has, why don't you come to this altar? Why don't you, I preached about it as a place that people will care about you and love you, not judge you, but love you. Why don't you come? Why don't you stand at this altar, begin to call on the Lord, and we'll call on the Lord with you. Praise God.
Oh, standing somewhere in the shadow.
You gotta care enough about your eternity. You gotta care enough. Praise God.
gift of the Holy Ghost. Brother Evans, when I went to church that Saturday night, I just knew it was my night I was going to get. And I went to the altar like I had so many nights prior. But it just wasn't coming. I fasted all week long. Couldn't even get through to God through life. So I stood over there in a corner at the door. You come off the platform. There where the platform was the door that went out to the outside. And I'm standing there and I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I was ready to walk out that door or what I was ready to do, but it seemed like God was out of the way. And all of a sudden I saw a shadow in front of me. And when I looked up for the crowd, that evangelist laid his hand on my head and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." I went to the floor talking in another language. I've never talked in the whole. The devil says, "You ain't got it," I said. "You're a liar. I'm working as hard as you." I see some folks, you know, they just get it, don't seem like nothing. But, you know, some folks that say they got it don't stay. But when you really get the genuine gift of the Holy Ghost,
come on,
you don't ever get away from us. Amen. God bless all of you. I know the bike rides. People riding bikes today. I had to even come down and come up another way into the church today because bikes riding down, people riding their bikes. I'm going to tell you something. They'll be riding their bikes when Jesus comes. But I'll tell you, I want to be a part of it. I want to be in the church. Amen. I want to be a part of those bike rides. I want to be in the church worshiping God. Hallelujah.